From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. We begin this hour with a closer look at a small but powerful political group. The Tea Party started as an anti-big government, anti-tax movement. TEA stands for Taxed Enough Already? But Tea Partiers have another pressing concern, an obsession, really, with the U.S. Constitution. They believe it's being subverted by President Obama and by the Democratic Congress. NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson reports on this populist constitutionalist movement.
On a sweltering night in Manassas, the Virginia Tea Party Patriots are holding a rally.
The theme tonight is defending the Constitution. We are revisiting what were the fundamental principles that made this nation great, that makes
Along with the Don't Tread on Me flags and the George Washington impersonators, the Constitution is ubiquitous at Tea Party events, whether it's reproductions of the original parchment or pocket-sized copies.
The Democrats are eviscerating our Constitution. I carry a copy with me in my purse.
That's Karen Cole. Her friend Betty Ann Olson agrees.
This current administration is trashing our Constitution. They couldn't care less about the values. They're breaking the laws.
And how does she know this?
I do not study the Constitution, no, but I'm well aware of my history. I'm well aware of how this country was founded, and I'm well aware of what has happened to it in current years.
Tea Party members are often vague about exactly how their constitutional rights are being denied, but they all believe the federal government has expanded far beyond what the Constitution intended. Others focus on the 10th Amendment and claim that states' rights are being trampled, which leads others to call for a repeal of the 17th Amendment, the one that took power away from state legislatures to choose U.S. senators. And Tea Party candidates, like Nevada Republican Senate hopeful Sharon Angle, pay particular attention to the Second Amendment. Here she is speaking to a sympathetic talk radio host.
I feel that the Second Amendment is the right to keep and bear arms for our citizenry. This is not for someone who's in the military. This is not for law enforcement. This is for us. And when you read the Constitution and the Founding Fathers, they intended this to stop tyranny. This is for us when our government
becomes tyrannical. If we needed it any time in our history, it might be right now.
Even if you're not calling for armed insurrection, invoking the sacred text of the Constitution gives a political argument more authority, says Columbia University law professor Nate Persily.
When you start phrasing your objections in constitutional terms, you are lodging sort of the biggest weapon that we have in American political discourse. You're saying that you are violating some basic principles.
Persily has just completed a poll of Tea Party supporters, and he says while their constitutional arguments may sound abstract, they are grounded in something visceral.
A lot of this taps into people's objections to Obama personally. We've had all kinds of constitutional arguments that have been raised against Obama, whether you're pointing to the birther movement, for example, or constitutional objections to individual policies.
Not every Tea Partier is a birther, of course, but the birthers do make the ultimate constitutional argument, the false charge that President Obama himself is unconstitutional because he wasn't born in the United States. This isn't the first time the Constitution has been invoked by a social movement. Abolitionists, feminists, Dixiecrats, and the civil rights movement have all appealed to the Constitution, says Akhil Amar, who teaches law and political science at Yale.
Dr. Martin Luther King actually says, "I'm here to redeem the Constitution. It actually does say equal, and we're not doing equal." And now we're seeing a populist movement on the right, and both of them are claiming a constitutional legacy.
But these days, says Amar, the grassroots debate over the true meaning of the Constitution is a little one-sided.
I think it's a mistake for folks on the left to concede the Constitution rather than claim it as their rightful inheritance. If one side is claiming it and the other side is not, I think that the side that claims it has a huge advantage in the culture wars.
That's because what the public believes the Constitution means matters, and sometimes it can influence how the Constitution is interpreted by the Supreme Court, says Larry Kramer, the dean of Stanford Law School and the author of a book about popular constitutionalism.
It would be rather peculiar to say that in a democratic society it's too important for ordinary people to have any say in what it means or how it applies. So you always want engaged public debate over the meaning of the Constitution in order to keep it contemporary and in line with where the country is. I mean, I don't have to agree with their position to think that it's a good thing to have the debate.
Today, Kramer says, the Tea Party is giving a big grassroots boost to the elite conservative legal movement whose views of the Constitution are already well represented on the Supreme Court.
Right now, four and probably five of the justices are much more sympathetic to the Tea Party view of the Constitution than they are to the Obama administration view.
With more than 20 states currently pursuing legal challenges to the new law requiring individuals to have health insurance, the Tea Party views on that issue will eventually have their day in the highest court. But until then, the Virginia Tea Party patriots and others like them will keep pushing their case in the court of public opinion.
And if I could ask you all to rise, we are going to begin with an invocation of our creator by General George Washington.
Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.
Let America bless God.